What's going on, y'all? And good morning on this day, September 25th, 2024. This is your Clap Your Hands morning update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. And of course, leaving you with one thing to think about as you go throughout your day. It's your boy, James Jackson. Thanks for getting up and joining me on this daily podcast. Wherever you are, your morning drive to work, or whenever you're listening through, I just appreciate all you guys listening and tuning in. And of course, don't forget to follow me and the podcast on social media at jimmy.j23 on both social medias, Twitter and Instagram. Clap Your Hand Pod on Twitter and Instagram as well, because we're going through these morning pods together, y'all. Remember, it's a journey. Me and you guys, the Sixers fans, the Clap Your Hands fans. So let us know what you guys need updated on, what you guys want to know about, and we can go through this thing together. So, of course, there's no scheduled news to update you guys on, right, until we get closer to games, until we get things on the books. We know what the preseason schedule is, so nothing to really update you guys on there. We are inching closer and closer to Sixers basketball, though. 13 days away until they take on the New Zealand Breakers on October 7th at the Wells Fargo Center. So until that, the schedule remains the same. Media days next Monday, and we get prepared for that. Also, no injury news. That's good. Again, no injury news, no updates, no scares for us to know about, or scores going around the league. There is some news, though, right? There is some tea, as the kids say, going on. Yesterday, I updated you guys on the Mitchell Robinson situation, that he had a setback that's going to keep him out until now, targeted December, January, right, the Knicks say. And now it's getting a little bit more interesting. It's stirring the pot a little bit. Mitchell Robinson today posted a cryptic message on his IG story, right? The black box, white text on his IG story. Anytime a player or an athlete, a celebrity posts that black screen with the white text on their IG story, you just know they're about to shake something up. Like, that's an athlete's way of letting the world know that they are disgruntled, they're upset, and whatever statement they're about to say is probably about to call somebody out or be cryptic in some kind of way. Mitchell Robinson continued that trend. He posted on his IG story saying, "The truth always comes out at some point. Keep that in mind." Always in all caps. The truth always comes out at some point. Keep that in mind. He then posted another story after that, a picture of him, captioned, "Stay tuned on TikTok. It's finna go down." I got my hands in the air. Y'all can't see me, but I got my hands in the air, because I don't know what it means. I'm not gonna speculate anything. I'm not gonna make up a story, but it's the eye emojis, right? Like, are we not all curious what's going down? Again, doesn't have directly to do with the Sixers, but this is Sixers related, in my opinion. Division rival, close foe, someone they played in the playoffs, someone who really hurt the Sixers in the playoffs before he got injured himself. So this is just really weird, right? And now if you go to the Knicks side of Twitter, the Knicks side of things, right, they don't know what to do with themselves. They're beside themselves. They're wondering if Mitchell Robinson's about to expose somebody, if he's about to ask for a trade. They don't know what's about to go down. So yesterday, Mitchell Robinson, it's reported that he suffers a setback and won't be back until December or January. And now today, this. So he said, "Stay tuned on TikTok." His words, not ours. Now, I don't have TikTok, right? It's the one social media app I don't have. So my Sixers fans, my Clap Your Hands fans, my army out there, my eyes and ears on the streets, stay tuned to Mitchell Robinson's TikTok account. Keep his notifications on, maybe, because I just want to know what goes down. I just want to know what he says. If it gets spicy out here, let me know. I'm curious. I'm nosy is what I am. And I want to know what continues with this Mitchell Robinson situation. When I know, I will update you guys as well. Maybe nothing comes of it, and it's all just, you know, one big kind of dramatic scene before training camp starts. Sixers-related news next. More important news to go for. And this has to do with our MVP center, Joel Embiid, as he continues what is like a really great summer that he's having, all things considered. This has not to do with basketball. This is off the court, but just as impactful and, to me, just as noteworthy, just as important. So Embiid today was in New York for the United Nations General Assembly Week. He was there speaking on how sports can help transform Africa, his home nation, and more importantly, Cameroon, his home country, financially. So that's already, like, that's really great. Like, that's a global impact, something that Joel Embiid is going to speak on and use his voice. And he's speaking at two events, one of which is pretty prestigious, right? One of which is called the Earthshot Prize, hosted by Prince William himself. It was started in 2020, and it rewards 5 winners each year with a £1 million, right? £1 million in British, £1 million grant to continue their work toward environmental causes. So I'm not sure exactly what Embiid spoke on, what he is planning to speak on, and how exactly it aids in his direct kind of goal and agenda for Africa. But I mean, if you help a place financially, everyone's got more money to help environmental causes, right? You know, helping a place financially and helping a place's infrastructure can only help do good and permeate and other positive things. So I just want to give Joel Embiid kind of props and give shine for being able to go and do something like this. Like, one, from public speaker to public speaker, this is not something easy to go and speak at. Right. It's not easy to go up and get in front of a panel of experts in a field that isn't naturally yours. Right. In a field that you adopted study in and who are going to essentially judge and critique what you are saying to give away £1 million, $1 million, essentially. Right. That's a lot of money that they're handing out to you to go and help a cause that you feel is in need. Right. So it's a lot of speculation, a lot of judgment that comes with that. It's not easy to be able and speak about such an issue, such a global impactful issue that he's speaking on. So that's great that Embiid is kind of has that confidence to go and use his voice, and he's willing to go and do that. And I love when people are taking pride in their country, in their home country, in their heritage. That's awesome to see. He faced a lot of criticism of that earlier in the summer with his decision to play for Team USA. So I'm glad this is kind of doing away with a lot of that negativity. And I don't want to stretch this too far, but I don't think it's that far-fetched for me to say that some of this can translate to how he can use this with the Sixers and be a leader and a voice, a continued leader and voice in the locker room. We know that coming into his career, especially coming into his stardom, you know, he hasn't been the most vocal leader. You know, speaking and using his voice, being assertive, isn't the easiest thing for Joel Embiid. We've actually seen, you know, players actually try to help him with that. So when I see something like this, when I see him get up so confidently in a forum like this and be able to speak, that gives me confidence and it gives me encouragement that he's going to be able to do that in front of, you know, a group of men in a sport that he dominates. Right? This is now when he goes back to his field in basketball, I'm sure when he, you know, he can reflect on how he was able to speak in other forums and just use that. Like, that's good encouragement for him to be able to use his voice and be a leader in the Sixers locker room. I look for him, you know, to continue that as the season starts. So that's great momentum. I applaud Joel Embiid for the summer that he's having and just continue to do good work for his home country. Last month, he received the Presidential Medal of Honor in Cameroon. So just the big man doing big things out in the world. And you love to see it. That's what we look for our MVP guy, to be an ambassador like that for the game of basketball in the world. I love it. Wanted to give shine for the great things that Embiid is doing and the great things that he's hopefully going to do with the start of the season. All right. It's about to be time for my one thing to leave you with today on the other side of the break. And to for context, I want to, you know, as we're going forward until we get to the start of the season, I want to kind of look at players individually on the Sixers roster, go through what I expect of them, right? And then, you know, see what we're really going to get from each player individually as we go in. I think we can start with the newcomers, and who better to start with than Paul George himself. So what I expect from PG and my one thing to leave you with today on the other side of this break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to your Clap Your Hands Daily Update. September 25th, 2024, your man James Jackson. Make sure you're following me and the pod on Twitter and Instagram at jimmy.j23 for me, at Clap Your Hand Pod for the podcast. Because, like I said, we're going through these things together, man. Tweet at me, tweet at the podcast. I want to hear from you guys. I'm boots on the ground, you're boots on the ground. I know the Sixers, you know, Sixers Twitter is very much a community. So let's do this thing together. So yesterday, I took a look at the Sixers roster as a whole, right? We kind of addressed what it, the feeling of it, the look of it as a whole and overall as we go into the season. And I'm thinking as we get closer and closer, days go by, we start to look at individually, you know, player by player, what can we can really expect from these guys, you know, from this season, from the Sixers. And I think there's no better place to start than the newest free agent signing, one of the biggest free agent signings in the NBA this year, Paul George coming to the Sixers. For a lot of people, I've heard this nickname on the streets go, Eight Ball Paul. I don't know, how do y'all feel about that? Because I kind of like it. That's unique, right? Right. We could always go PG8, but, you know, the initial nickname, or the initial number nickname is, it's kind of normal. And I think almost kind of played out. Like, everyone goes by that. There's nothing unique by that. There's probably other PG8s out there. But 8-Ball Paul? I haven't heard 8-Ball Paul now. Like, that's pretty unique. It's got a nice little ring to it. Nice little flow to it. So if you don't like it, we won't use it. But I kind of like 8-Ball Paul. Let me know what you guys think about that nickname. But nonetheless, Paul George comes to Philadelphia, and what can we really expect from Paul George this season? Because I know there's mixed feelings, right? I know the name itself is exciting for a lot of people, but I know that, you know, he doesn't have the greatest, we'll say the greatest stigma around him at times. But for what Paul George is, I think can be very, very valuable, obviously, to the Sixers. So first of all, he's averaged 20 points per game in each of the last 10 seasons in the NBA. And to me, there's no reason for me to believe that he can't maintain that average, or at least maintain the production that he's been willing to give over that 10-year span. His latter years in Indiana, his Thunder years, and his Clipper years, right? Like, Paul George has been known as a bucket. Been known as go get you one type of guy, and I think he can maintain that. The numbers have been efficient too, right? Since that 2014 season, he's only shot the ball under 45% from the field three times. And a couple of those, you know, some of those were later years. Some of those aren't recent years, right? These are times where Paul George is putting the ball in the hoop, and some of you guys might be saying to me right now, James, I don't care about later years. I don't care about years in the past. It's a what have you done for me lately? That's what I want to know about Paul George. And I understand that. So I look at last season, a career high in field goal percentage and a career high in three-point percentage. So even just as recent as last year, shooting the ball as efficient as he's ever shot the ball, right? And I know that these numbers probably aren't new to you guys. You guys probably have seen these numbers even broken down to you in this way by now since Paul George has become a member of the Sixers. But one, I'm a numbers guy, right? Numbers mean something to me. So I'm always going to look to back up my opinion with make sure the facts are there, make sure the stats are there to back that up. Okay? Straight facts, if you know, you know. So the fact that I have this feeling about Paul George, like I look to his numbers over the last 10 years, three different teams, a whole lot of teammates, and he's maintained this over that level of time, that's a good thing to me, right? He's gone from the guy to a number two option and maybe to at times a number three option and maintained this points per game average over all those 10 seasons, right? That's noteworthy. That's really good. And, you know, he's coming into – to me, what I think is a little bit better of a situation for him on the offensive end than at least he's been and with the Clippers. You look at the type of offense and the space that he's going to have dealing with Maxey at the point and Joel Embiid at the center spot. He doesn't have to share the wing and the perimeter with two guys that similar play, one that plays his position, and two that are very similar in the way they operate to how they score the ball. Right, that he's going to have a lot more space to operate and do what Paul George does, which is score the ball in creative ways on the offensive end. So I like that. That's what I expect from Paul George this season, and maybe through his Sixers tenure, is to maintain that level of production on the offensive end, right? Like, these are close to all-star numbers. Like, nowadays, all-star numbers, all-star points per game, you probably got to be towards that 23, 24, maybe even 25 points per game to get in the all-star game, right? But I will take a Paul George that is averaging 21 points on, you know, 47 from the field and 41 from three, which is what he shot last year. I will take that level of production all day if he can maintain that for an entire year stretch. By the way, played 74 games last year. Some of the healthiest he's ever been, and was there when Kawhi was not in the playoffs. Okay. So I know those numbers in a vacuum look good, and circumstances haven't always been great for Paul George. Right? There are times when he's looked good and been able to really put the team on his back. I can point to a couple years ago when he took the Clippers into the Western Conference Finals. Or you can look at last year when, you know, he faltered at the end of the playoffs. I think I did the playoffs shooting 4-for-13 and then 6-for-18. I get it. Not great. But like I said, it's a whole different situation. And for what it's worth, I don't expect Paul George to be that guy that we have to go to get a, you know, to get us buckets in late game situations. He can be that person. I think at times he will be that person. But I don't think the Sixers are set up to where we're going to be looking at Paul George in crunch time and saying, take us home. We have an MVP, and we have a guy in Tyrese Maxey who showed me he's more than capable of doing that last year when he played the Knicks. Right? Paul George is a complimentary star. He's taken that role since he's left Indiana of being a complimentary star. And I think he does that in the Sixers too. We know that Embiid likes to slow it up. We know that Tyrese Maxey likes to play fast. And I expect Paul George to be a nice little middle ground in between that. And a middle ground that doesn't take the ball out of Maxey's hands, which is a little bit more important too. Right? Because I think James Harden was a middle ground to that at certain points. But a middle ground is a primary ball handler in the offense. Now, Paul George is going to get to his ISO bag. So it's going to be times where he's going to be at high usage, but he's not the primary ball handler in the offense. He's not the starter of the offense. Maxey will be. And when James Harden was here, he was the starter of the offense, which I think compromised a lot of what Maxey wants to do. Paul George isn't going to do that. He's on the wing. He's complementary to a lot of this. So I think that Paul George can be that bridge and that gap between Embiid style and Maxey style. That's good, man. That's great for the Sixers. I look forward to it. So that's Paul George on the offensive end, right? And I think what has made Paul George, actually, I know what has made Paul George such a commodity in the NBA over the last handful of years is that he's been one of the best two-way players in the league when he commits to it. And that is my one thing that I want to leave you guys with today as you go through about your day thinking about the Sixers. That if Paul George commits, the Sixers can be a very, very scary team. If Paul George commits, the Sixers can be a very, very scary team. Now, there's a couple things I mean by what I say when I say if he commits, right? You guys know me now by now. There's layers to what I say. So there's a couple things to what I mean about if he commits. First thing I'll talk about is the obvious one that's on the court, and that's committing to both ends of the floor, right? That's committing to going back to one of the best defensive players in the league, right? Paul George has shown me that he can be a defensive anchor on a team. two-time All-NBA defensive first team, two-time All-NBA defensive second team, and the 2019 steals leader when he was with the Thunder. I know that elite defensive Paul George is in there. I'm not saying he's got to give me All-Defensive first team, but he's got to give me that attention to the defensive end, that commitment to the defensive end. If he does that, the Sixers can unlock a level that I don't think they've had since this current tenure of Maxey and Embiid, right? I don't think we've had that solid of a wing defender since maybe Matisse Thybulle. And if Paul George can bring that back, can bring that level of defensive prowess back to the Sixers, that's a level that the rest of the league hasn't seen with this current iteration of the Sixers team, right? That's all. That's something that you've heard of the phrase defense to offense, right? Like that's something that's going to help the Sixers on the offensive end, creating easy stops, getting out in transition, creating turnovers, limiting possessions, all that stuff. Paul George can really help set that agenda on the defensive end. He's been known as one of the best on-ball defenders in the league since he's been here. When he got into the league, he hung his hat on defense before his offensive game came to. Paul George was known as a defensive stopper when he came in the league. The offensive bag came later. So I like that for Paul George, man. And I like that for the Sixers. At one point, the Sixers had a defensive identity, right? Like at one point, defense was something the Sixers hung their hats on. We'd be one of the best defensively rated teams in the league, would have one of the best scoring margins, you know, would be limiting teams to 100, 110 points a game. I get this was a different head coach and a different regime ago, but at one point we looked at the Sixers as a defensive-minded team. At one point when we had Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, and Embiid, we're sending three guys to defensive teams at one time from one team. Now, I'm not saying Paul George gets us back to that, but he gets us a lot closer. He puts us now as a two-way-minded team, a team that you got to deal with on the defensive end. When you're on offense, you got to worry about them. You got to worry about their defense as well. I think that if Paul George commits, that's the word of the day. If he commits to that, that's something that I think can be a domino effect to the rest of the team. We already know Embiid can be a defensive anchor. But if Paul George commits, I see someone like Kelly Oubre committing to the defensive end. Someone like Caleb Martin getting in on the action. Right? Maybe Tyrese Maxey becomes a better perimeter defender because his job as a help side defender is a little easier. As a deny defender is a little easier because Paul George's on-ball defense is that good. Maxey's on-ball defense is easier because Paul George's help defense is so good. Like, let's help each other out here. If Paul George can help set that tone on the defensive end, it's going to be great. But again, he's got to commit to it. The other thing I mean about Paul George committing is Paul George has to commit to being a Sixer. Right? He's got to commit to being a Sixer through good and bad. And we already see him kind of taking the right steps and doing the right things, right? He's already had multiple teammates on his podcast, Podcast Pete's good podcast, it's a good listen, go check it out. He's already come into the city and gone to Pat's and Gino's, gone to Cheesesteak, and played basketball at the courts right next to it. He said on his podcast, by the way, PG, wrong choice for a cheesesteak spot. You need a good cheesesteak, holla at me, man. You need a good cheesesteak, let me know. I got dozens of spots in the city before we go there, but I get it. It's the tourist spot. He had to go there. I digress. But that's very important, man, because this isn't a one-year rental. This isn't a little two-year contract. This is a four-year deal that we got for Paul George, right? This signifies we're committed. So you gotta commit. And you can have teammates on your podcast all you want. You can come get a cheesesteak. You can tell fans You know, I want you guys to be as hard on me as possible, as critical as possible, which I don't even know if that was the right thing to say, if that was smart, but I guess I applaud the boldness from PG. But you got to commit all the way to being a Sixer, to being a Philadelphia, man. You gotta be willing to day in and day out go and do everything you possibly can to help this team win. That's how you commit. The good times and the bad. Because it's easy when it's easy, right, PG? It's easy to say it. It's easy in the summertime when the good vibes and, you know, it's all good then. But there's going to be points where it gets tough, where you're struggling, the team is struggling. It's inevitable. It's a long season. And it's going to be a little tougher then, but you got to stay committed. He's got to stay committed to the process, got to stay committed to being a Sixer through and through. Because if we look at the past co-stars that Embiid has had, the past quote-unquote running mates that he's had before Maxey, I don't know if we can talk about commitment. I don't think Jimmy Butler was here long enough to really commit. And even when he did show that, it was really his admiration for Embiid and then ultimately gave the Sixers an ultimatum. Different story. Ben Simmons, don't got to talk about that. James Harden didn't really ever commit. Never felt like Harden ever really committed, did it? I know it's tough. He came here midseason in a trade and had to kind of pick up with it and go midseason. But then out of summer after that to kind of really ingrate himself into the city, and it never felt like he did that. And Paul George is already doing that, right? We already got teammates on the podcast. We're already feet on ground in the city. We're already foot on land in the city. 10 toes down in the city already. I like that. But stay committed to being a Sixer, right? To being with the culture of the city, the energy of the city. Take notes from guys like Bryce Harper and Jason Kelsey and Embiid and Maxey. Learn what it means to really commit, and then I think the Sixers will be a very, very scary team. That's my one thing I want to leave you with today, that if Paul George commits both on the defensive end and both sides of the ball on the court and commits to fully being a Sixer and everything that entails, look out, because here they come. So thank you for joining me today for this Clap Your Hands Sixers Daily Update, September 25th, and I will see you guys tomorrow.